from the high desert and the great American Southwest.
I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the entire world. This, of course, is Coast to Coast AM. And I'm Art Bell, here to escort you through the remainder of the weekend. Long one it is for us from a broadcast point of view, and what a pleasure to have escorted you into the new year. Here it is, 2005. It's here. We're already in it. The tsunami now was in the last year, albeit not very far. And that's the head of the news, of course. It continues to be a day after President Bush upped the U.S. pledge to $350 million after certain people accused us of being cheap. The Japanese Prime Minister announced Saturday his country would contribute up to $500 million to relief efforts. The increased aid came as a deluge from the skies deepened the misery for tsunami-stricken areas. What are they getting? Flash floods in Sri Lanka. Deadly disease ahead. A magnitude 5.9 aftershock. A total of about $2 billion now pledged. So they're going to get help, and they sure do need it. What an incredible, as I said last night, biblical event. And it is. I mean, if this had happened, then it would be in the Bible. I'm sure of it. Al-Qaeda's, in other news, there is other news, Al-Qaeda's arm in Iraq has released a video Saturday showing its militants lining up five captured Iraqi security officers and executing them in cold blood right in the street. Part of a thing, you know, a whole campaign to turn people against the possibility of any elections, and I don't know. I'd say it's even money on the elections. What do you think? Weird story. Authorities investigating two incidents. I'm sure you've heard about it if you keep up on the news, if you're a news junkie like I am. Laser beams. People aiming laser beams at pilots and airplanes. In the New Jersey near Teterboro Airport, people, they don't know who, aiming green lasers at jets. And then they had some of their own aircraft up looking for it all, and they got hit with them too. So somebody's screwing around with lasers on the East Coast. Stupid. Stupid. Stupid people. Let's shine a laser at that jet and see what happens. Well, getting back for a second to the tsunami, there are several things that caught my eye about the tsunami. The first thing I heard that was amazing, and I couldn't figure out where it was from, that the Earth's rotation had changed a little bit and our days would shorten. And sure enough, here it is from the Scotsman. Yet, quake's power speeds up Earth's rotation, shortens our days. The Earth's rotation may have been permanently accelerated by the force of the Asian earthquake, said scientists. It emerged that the tsunamis created by it were the deadliest great waves in more than a century. Richard Gross, a geophysicist with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in California, said the shift of mass towards the Earth's center had caused the planet to begin spinning a millionth of a second faster, and get this, folks, to tilt about an inch, just 1 inch, on its axis. So it's not a big anything, but indeed, this quake was of the magnitude that it actually affected the entire Earth. That probably, you know, puts it in the biblical category too, doesn't it? Pretty weird stuff. Also, it moved some of the islands. These are all things that you heard, but I don't know if you really got them verified. They are verified. L.A. The massive earthquake that devastated parts of Asia permanently moved the tectonic plates beneath the Indian Ocean as much as 98 feet. A slightly shifting islands near Sumatra, an unknown distance. They don't know how far they moved. I, of course, the thing went on, I understand, for what, about 5 minutes or so, less or greater than. That's a long earthquake. 5 minutes it's forever. In fact, the 7.3 we had here in the desert seemed like it went on forever. It didn't. 5 minutes, That's incredible. I can't even imagine a five, but it's what it was. A tsunami spawned by the 9-magnitude quake off the northern tip of Sumatra killed an estimated, what do we think now, 150,000 or so? In Indonesia, Thailand, India, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, and East Africa. And speaking of Africa, the other weird thing about this story. We're about to get to open lines, by the way. Oh, and next hour, Ed Dames will be here. Next hour, Ed Dames. Somebody sent me an email and said, hey, Art, last night's prediction show was so depressing that I actually found myself looking forward to hearing Ed Dames lighten things up a little tonight. I thought that was a kick. Ed will lighten up. Well, maybe, you know, after yesterday's incredible happenings here. And, oh, by the way, yes, there was. I've got to make one correction. Not a bonk. Remember I said there would be some I would bonk that I should not. Somebody predicted that Big Ben would have a breakdown in May of 2004, and a damn if it didn't. It actually, there was a crack that developed, and that was a date. And so I guess that's a gigantic ding. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Inevitably, I miss a few. So there you have it. Last night's show was so depressing. He's looking forward to Ed Dames tonight. In a moment, I will tell you about Africa. This is obviously worth noting, and the story comes from Johannesburg, South Africa, courtesy of Reuters. Wild animals seem to have escaped the Indian Ocean tsunami, and this will add a lot of weight to notions that they have a sixth sense. You know, it's sort of one of those myth things. Is it a myth? I don't know. No, it isn't. The Sri Lankan wildlife officials have said the giant waves that killed, now we know, 150,000 people along the Indian Ocean, men counting. Well, you know what? They found zero, no dead animals. No dead animals. No elephants. Not even a dead hare. Not even a dead rabbit. So it's pretty obvious that the animals knew what was coming. The animals knew. And even in this story, they kind of refer to this power as a mystical power, you know, or something like that. Well, they now think that the myth of this is going to spread. Well, it certainly will, won't it? The fact that not one animal died does say that they know something we don't. Period. Or we would have run, too, and we wouldn't have had all these deaths. So what the animals have is, whatever it is, it's real, and it's without exception. I mean, you would think, wouldn't you? A few dead, oh, they found fish, but they were brought in, right? So other than that, nothing on land that was on 4 feet was found dead. Just the ones on 2 feet. Anyway, listen, again, at the top of the hour, Ed Dames, and by the way, I do want to note, and I do note for Ed, in his favor, that the person who got the big one from 2004, and I, by the big one, I mean the tsunami, that person claimed to have been trained by Ed Dames. Now, I don't know what to make out of this story, except I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. The Washington Post mentions the same article that is translated here. This comes from a Bangkok newspaper called The Nation. However, the report could not independently be confirmed, but nevertheless, the Washington Post also mentioned it with this article. Just minutes after the earthquake in the Indian Ocean on Sunday morning, Thailand's foremost meteorological experts were sitting together in a crisis meeting, it says, but they decided not to warn about the tsunami out of, quote, courtesy to the tourist industry. That was in the Nation in Thailand. Now, it goes on. The experts got the news at around 8 a.m. on Sunday morning local time. An hour later, the first wave struck. The experts started to discuss the economic impacts when they were discussing if a tsunami warning should be made. The main argument against any such warning was that there have not been any floods in the last 300 years. None. Also, the experts thought the Indonesian island Sumatra would cushion the southern coast of Thailand. The experts also had some bad information, apparently. They thought the tremor was 8.1, not 9. A similar earthquake did occur in the same area in 2002 with no flooding at all. It says, we finally decided not to do anything because the tourist season was in full swing. The hotels were 100% fully booked. What if we issued a warning, which then would have led to an evacuation and nothing had happened? What would be the outcome? The tourist industry would be immediately hurt. Our department would not be able to endure a lawsuit. Unbelievable. So, I'm not sure what to make out of this, but this is an apparent translation, an alleged translation, and one that indeed the Washington Post made reference to, and I thought all of you should hear it, because you might not hear it elsewhere. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. How are you this evening?
I'm quite well. Thank you.
Isn't that just typical, though, of the governments and powers that be, that all they really think about is the dollar value and not the value of the life?
Yes. And their own hides, and they think about all kinds of things. And so, why, you know, I've wondered, sir, over the years, if an asteroid or something terrible was headed toward Earth, or, you know, science became aware of an inevitable catastrophe, would they actually tell us? And I'm not sure they would.
Absolutely not. They won't tell us. You know, they're covering their own hides, but they won't tell the general population.
But, you know, on the other side of the ledger, sir, we do issue tsunami warnings in this country. I've seen many, many of them in my years on radio when earthquakes occur. I've seen them for California, the North Coast. I've seen them. We issue them.
Yeah, but that system is put up more through the academic means than through the governmental means.
Right, right. But it at least it does get done. We have the infrastructure to do it. Now, in a lot of places, to be fair here, even if they had issued one, there was not the infrastructure to get the word out.
Exactly. We have the early warning system over the radios and television if there's some imminent danger coming, you know, locally or nationally. But,
we've developed all kinds of alert systems for the public. The EAS system for broadcast that would suddenly interrupt everything if necessary, and various other things that we have that just aren't in the rest of the world.
Well, the thing is despite the great loss of people, 150,000 souls have perished, and many more yet to come, when you really look at the scope of things, it is not very many people in relation to the concentrations of populations in those areas. The world is reacting in a way it's never seen before, and this is just a scratch to what's really going to be coming down the pipe quite soon.
Well, I hope you're wrong on that score. You sound like a caller from last night's program. Pretty negative, huh? People are thinking negative things are coming. And by the way, thank you, all of you who wrote to me with various scenarios about why you think the whole negative news scene is at all, why positive news isn't reported, about why most of the calls on predictions were in the negative category. I got a lot of, I asked for it, and I got a lot of responses. I'll share some with you on the air. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, I tell you what, last night's show, or early this morning's show, rather, was pretty depressing. All right. It really was.
Well, remember, sir, It was not not my doing, but call after call after call after call.
How many calls you had? Over 100?
Over 100, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your finger was really tired, wasn't it? Well, look here. My dogs, we had some construction work going on around my home about a year ago. I live with 2 chows and 3 cats.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, before they did the blasting, a minute or two before they actually did the blasting, 30 seconds or so before the actual blast, my dogs got up and, you know, they started barking. So
yeah.
Animals have that instinct. I wish we had it.
But now I want you to think what that really means. That means that those animals had to have somehow tapped into the intent of the human beings who are about to set off those explosives. That's one possibility.
I don't understand that.
That's one possibility. The other is that animals somehow sense or see through time.
I don't understand that either. But I'm just going to tell you, the dogs, right before I heard a blast, they were up and they were active. Okay?
Yeah. Well, hey, it's real, sir. Whatever it is, it's absolutely real. Call it a sixth sense, or be afraid to, because they'll say it's a myth. Well, an awful lot more people, and they express that in the article they wrote, are going to begin to believe in it based on this story of what happened or didn't happen, more likely, to the animals over there. Isn't that evidence enough? Jim Berkland looks at the behavior of domestic cats and dogs and, you know, the lost and found columns and all of that with respect to earthquakes and full moons, of course. And he's probably on the right track. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
I was calling in regards to the slowing down, well, actually the speeding up, the shortening of days and the change in the Earth's axis.
Yeah.
My understanding in science is that if the Earth's axis were changed any differently, that we would not be able to inhabit life as we know it. And if the rotation of the Earth is set just so that we can inhabit life as we know it.
Okay.
Now,
that being said, sir, there is a natural oscillation anyway, and this is within the confines of the natural oscillation. Even the satellites might not be able to detect the difference, but in fact, it did do what you said.
Yeah. And so if that is in fact happening, if the days are going to shorten and the axis is tilt, are we going to start seeing major weather pattern changes, or is it going to take a few more this caliber earthquakes for this to start actually affecting our Earth in a drastic way, i.e. something as you're in tomorrow?
You want my opinion. The weather changes were already underway. It didn't need, a kick in the Earth to hurry that along. It's already happening, in my opinion.
So do you think over the, over the next year, coming years, we'll see even more drastic? I mean, do you think if the axis tilts a certain way, then you'll get more melting of the polar ice caps, if I'm correct?
Okay. I think the scientists here would tell you, don't worry. The half inch or inch, whatever it is they detected, is well within the normal oscillation moves of, I mean, every now and then. The National Bureau of Standards, WWV, is required to insert a leap second because things changed that much. So this just puts us a little more on the way to adding that leap second. I'm trying to give you an idea of how little an effect it was. It was nevertheless obviously very profound for an event of that type to change the tilt of the Earth ever so slightly and the speed of the rotation of the Earth ever so slightly, an amazing statement to have been made. I heard it surrounding the event, and it's like I didn't believe it, or, you know, it was just one of those wild reports early on, but it's true, absolutely true. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. About the tilt of the axis of the Earth.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be actually starting some sort of chaotic effect at that point, anytime you're throwing a sort of monkey wrench into an equation, there's going to be after effects maybe years down the road that we might not see.
Yeah. Listen, we're off in unknown territory. We don't know.
Absolutely. And if we think about the things in more of the Hindu aspect of the 4 billion year life cycle, you know, everything has to regenerate, including the Earth. That's why I'm at ease with what's going on. But as far as surviving, well, we got to take up to the woods.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. I'm at the bottom of the hour, and I got to go.
Thanks, have
a very good morning and a great new year. And all of you that, from Ramona, myself, our four furry friends, Happy New Year. Listen very carefully, and dial very carefully, by the way. Don't wake up people here in Pahrump, Nevada, unnecessarily. Get a pencil, a paper, and write down the correct phone number that you're about to hear for your area. And then dial using that. They're a little different on the weekend, and here they are.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Indeed so. Tomorrow night, open lines, although, as you know, over the years, I've not been adverse to opening a special line for a special purpose. So if you have a suggestion about what we might do, the front door is always open. Front door of the email, that is. I'm Art Bell at AOL.com or Art Bell at Mindspring.com, ArtBell. At AOL.com or Mindspring.com. It will get to me. All right, open lines for anything your little heart desires. And here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? When Ed gets on, could you please ask him if he sees the kill shot coming in 2005 and North Korea, a nuclear explosion in 2005, because I've had many dreams about a nuclear explosion with North Korea.
I will ask him. But even though there have been recent improvements in terms of nailing down when something is going to happen,
right?
Timelines are the most difficult thing of all.
Oh, I know it is.
With
but,
remote viewing.
But, you know, like you said, they are getting better at that, you know.
Yep, they are. I'll ask. That's all I can do.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to also note, by the way, that we just had an X-class solar flare. Somebody else noted for me by email that every time Ed Dames is on, we have a big solar flare. It's true, isn't it? Well, we just had a big X-class flare. And this was long after Ed had been scheduled to be on the air. In other words, the X-class flare is very recent. So, what can you say? The sun knows when Ed's around. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I just had a question regarding the day after tomorrow.
Okay.
I finally got to see it the other day, and I was wondering, in your opinion, how likely would something would a scenario like that take place?
Huh. You want the quick answer to that?
Sure.
Look, to some degree, obviously we compacted the events. You have to do that for a two-hour movie.
Sure.
You know, people complained about that. So much happened. Well, you fit some movie, you know. But could that occur? Could rapid climate change occur? Yes, sir. It could.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but how likely would it be? Is it something that we really need to worry about, or is it something that's not very likely to happen?
Well, I think it's quite likely to happen, frankly. And what I've been preaching, I think, is that we should begin becoming proactive about it instead of arguing about whether man's hand is involved and whether CO2 level, you know, the whole thing. Forget about that and simply observe that, indeed, the climate is beginning to change, and so areas where certain things will grow will have to be shifted. We're survivors, and if we want to remain survivors, we will note what's going on in the world around us and adapt. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, Art. This is Brooke, and I'm calling from Rhode Island.
Welcome, Brooke.
I'm so glad to speak to you. I can practically hug you.
Hmm.
For 3 weeks before the tsunami, I heard the hum 24 hours a day, including during the daytime when there was a building next door to me being renovated, and the construction workers were working on it to 8 o'clock at night, and trucks and cars were coming in.
Well, do you think this hum that you're talking about was related to the earthquake or the whole, just the whole thing? I mean, what do you imagine it might be?
I think it's a sound frequency, and that's what saved the animals, because they were in tune to the sound frequency. And I've spoken to you about this when I was up in Vermont at my aunt's house a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I heard the hum prior to 9/11 and prior to going to Iraq. And I was trying to call into George Norrie for 3 weeks, and it's so hard to get through because I started hearing the hum here in Rhode Island, and I've never heard it here 24 hours a day.
And so you've got it again? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I heard it again, but, you know, in the last few days, it stopped.
Well, all right, so we have some small thing to be thankful for. His hum stopped. And maybe events of a biblical magnitude will for a while stop, which would be okay with, I'm sure, all of us. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Art. This
hi.
Is Wayne from Portland.
Hey.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about this business with the lasers being shined in the airliners' cockpits.
Yes.
Let me give you my take and see what you think. It seems to me that because of the angle of a plane's windshield, laser would have to shine in from a pretty high angle, you know, above the pilots to penetrate.
I agree.
If someone was in a small plane doing it, they could easily detect them. And if someone was on the ground, they'd have to be higher than the plane.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you think's going on.
I don't know. And I don't know what grade of laser we're talking about either. I mean, there's everything from small little lasers that I cause my cats to run around the room and chase, up to industrial, even weapon-grade lasers. So I don't know what we're talking about, but you would think with most lasers, you would think, yes, you're absolutely right. The angle would be all wrong to really affect a pilot.
Yeah, that's really sort of creepy if you think about it, because they're being so accurate with it.
You know what? We live in a creepy world. Oh, I'm not kidding.
I know, it's sad.
Things have become pretty creepy.
Hey, you know, I had a positive prediction I couldn't get in last night. Can I give it to you? Just
no,
off the
well,
record?
Well, you can air it.
But I know it's not counted.
That's right.
What I was going to say is I think that they're going to put the shuttle up this year and they're going to fix the Hubble with men.
Yeah. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yep.
I'm really sorry that they let the Hubble, I don't know, sort of waste away, and, you know, sort of in indecision about whether they're going to fix it or not.
Yep.
I mean, that's quite a piece of hardware. I'm all for fixing it.
Yeah, it's irreplaceable. It cost them a fortune to replace it now.
Yep.
Hey, well, take care and Happy New Year.
Appreciate the call, sir. Take care. I hope it's a happy year, but I mean, after listening to the predictions for the coming year, I'm not so sure. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Hi.
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 I had the idea that maybe you know, like, you know how animals can sorry, I'm a bit nervous. Animals can detect earthquakes.
Yeah.
Maybe humans could do that in like early civilization, but since we were living in a new age now, that's right.
We've got the buzz and the hum of all this activity around us, and computers and televisions and radios all blaring away, and
we're being fed all that stuff, so we've lost that type of sense.
Right. Maybe what we should have is something that watches the animals and rings the alarm when they all turn tail and run. What do you think?
I think that'd be good.
Yeah. They must have done that. What other explanation could there be? We're talking about 150,000 human deaths, and we're still not, by any means, getting to a complete number. We all know that. The scale of this is gigantic, but not one animal, not one rabbit, not one elephant, not one anything was found dead. So they knew. Why weren't we watching them? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Where are you?
This is Sarah in La Mesa, right out of San Diego, California.
Of course, a beautiful place.
Lovely place. And did we have perfect weather today?
Hmm.
It was perfect. I wanted to call about the animals.
Yes.
Now, this is what I heard after the Vietnam War. The war dogs that were trained and had become so very close with the men that they worked with.
Yes.
Those men, so many of them, wanted to come home with bring those dogs home with them.
Right.
But the government said no, because they had been trained to do what they were trained to do. They could not trust them to be retrained. And those dogs shook and cowered and were so frightened hours before they were put to death. So you see, they knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah.
I've always felt that they are way ahead of us in understanding us.
I do understand. I guess I understand why they had to do what they had to do, but it's hard to hear about. And anyway, yeah, the whole thing, I think the whole thing is incredible. And what do you think they're doing? I mean, I don't think there's any question anymore. We've always argued about this animal thing. This story, this proves it. So the only question is, what are we dealing with here? Are they reading minds? Are they looking into the future? Are they having a small precognitive mental event?
I believe all of that, and to the same degree, I believe that all people do. Some people are aware of it and use it to different degrees. Other people are unaware of it and don't use it at all.
Yeah, I think it's like a really subtle warning, ma'am. In other words, I think, you know, as you go through life, you'll get a little moment of hesitation, and there's something that's trying to tell you something, but you ignore it.
Right, that's right. Now, one more thing. I think that we should set up a sincere, real study of what these animals are trying to tell us. If we'll watch them, they might help us live.
Yeah, they might.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is absolutely fascinating. I mean,
isn't it, though?
It really is. And that animals would get this before events, even events, say, like 9/11, or like the guy who called up with the explosion, they knew it was coming. This is all so fascinating, and it has great meaning. Thank you.
Now, just one more thing. I love hearing about your cats. I wish you'd speak about them a little more often.
I do that all the time. I probably talk too much about my cats. They're like our children. And I've gleaned so much from living with four cats. I've learned so much about how individual these little guys are. They're all they have personalities as distinct. They have jealousies. They have emotions. Every emotion that a human being has, I think that I've seen in a cat. They have envy. They have tempers. They pout. They, all of these things that you would attribute to a living soul. Intentional use of the word soul. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Where are you, pray tell?
I'm in Niagara Falls, Canada.
Niagara Falls, Canada. Way over there.
Well, actually, I'm a little closer towards Hamilton, but I'm in, was at Niagara Falls Celebration last night. Yeah, it was awesome.
All right. Well, proceed. Are you stuck?
No, I'm here.
Well, good. Speak. You're on the air.
Oh, okay.
This is it. This is your moment.
Yes. yes, Art.
Turn your radio off.
Okay, turn my radio off. I will.
I finally figured out what was wrong here. You're sitting there listening
to
the radio.
Now,
you have to have it off or you'll sound like you don't know what you're talking about.
That's correct. That's correct. No, I just wanted to wish you a very, very happy new year. I know there's a lot of negative things that are mentioning, but I really have faith in all of humanity, and I really think we can be positive and make wonderful things happen too. But I just wanted to know, Art, what your thoughts are on the Bible code. I read 1 and 2 from Michael Drosden. I just want to know if you've done a show about the Bible code, if you're going to be
I've
doing
I've got those. A request in to interview Michael Drosden. I don't know what I think about the Bible code. Honest to God, I don't. I'm going to keep looking into it. I don't know whether I think it's real or whether I think similar things could be achieved. I've talked to experts, and they say, no, you couldn't take any other book and come up with these things. It doesn't work. Others say, oh, yes, it does. So I don't know what to think about it.
Well, he said Sir Isaac Newton knew something, and he was, again, when they went in to find his papers at one of the universities, they found, instead of finding, you know, prayers and stuff, they found all these interesting things, you know, from the Bible and all these things he'd written down. So if he was looking into this 300 years ago and Nostradamus was doing all these things as well, there's got to be some connection. When you look in the past, you normally can find what the future will hold for us.
Well, I don't know. I'm a big fan of getting to the truth and the bottom of things, but with the Bible code, I have not made up my mind. I hear some amazing things, and then I hear some negative things about, so, I don't know. I'm the kind of person, for belief, I require an awful lot of evidence, and I have doubts. That's a better way to put it. I have doubts. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Gary. I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, speak up good and loud. You're sort of barely there.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm on a cell phone, the microphone slipped. I work for a aerospace maintenance company down here. We do repairs on airlines.
Yes.
Actually, the part with the problem they're having with the lasers being shined in the cockpit, we've been working on that for about 3 days right now.
Really?
The experiments that we've done, the lasers are coming from the ground. All we need is about a 45-degree angle or less than that to be able to get it into the cockpit. One of the solutions we've come up with is to put a reflective...
Let me stop you, and I'm interested in what you have to say about that, but with what effect? In other words, I saw one story on it in which they said, well, yes, it can be done, but they don't think they've detected any negative effects on pilots yet, have they?
Not yet. The report that was in the news a couple of days ago, there was one pilot that did receive minor injuries to his eyes.
I remember hearing that Air Force planes were also targeted by the Soviets toward the end of the Cold War. Anyway, you were saying something about a reflective device?
Well, actually, it's the same kind of film that they put on windows to make them reflect heat. It's a mylar coating. It basically just reflects sunlight. And it also, we've been playing with it, and it does reflect the lasers, too.
So you think there might
about
80%
of it.
Protective, shield they could put on a plane?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. It's just basically a small piece of plastic. We put it along the bottom part of the window, and it seems to be blocking about 80% of it. So it's a real simple solution.
Well, I hope that's true, and I hope there is a very simple solution. Who do you suppose would be doing that? Terrorists? I don't think so. I'd have high doubts about that. I'd think more like just people messing around. I mean, it's a crazy world out there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening. Happy New Year, Mr. Bell.
And the very same to you, sir.
Yeah, my name is Robert. I'm calling from Glendale, Wisconsin via WISN radio.
Yes, sir.
And they're coming through very loud and clear.
Good.
I have a couple of comments and a question. I want to ask you first, are you by any chance related to a friend, a guy I know named Don Bell? He had a publication out years ago.
No.
Okay, I answered that question. Now, let me plant a seed in your train of thought. Just about an hour and a half ago, I tuned in on WLW radio, I think it's Cincinnati, and I caught the part of a program the guy, the announcer, had just mentioned from a caller that I didn't hear. A caller had commented that the tsunami was man-caused. Now, I didn't hear any detail on that. I'm just wondering if you have any follow-up on that in the future or whatever.
No, I don't have any follow-up, nor do I have any evidence, not even a little bit of evidence. I mean, I've had the normal kind of emails that you would expect somebody in my position would get saying, I bet Harp caused that earthquake, and they just wouldn't admit all that kind of stuff. I don't think so.
I have doubts myself. That's an awful big thing to happen. It had to be, it'll take an awful lot of explosives to do that.
Yeah. No, I don't think man had anything to do with this. But you never know. You're very welcome.
I praise you being on the air and stay alive and stay above ground.
All right. Yeah, I guess they go together, right? Stay alive, stay above ground. Now, as you can imagine, immediately there are those who, you know, are ready to believe just about anything. And frankly, I'm not down on you for your belief that that might be true, or that man might have meddled and done something. God knows, we've done things before, haven't we? But I rather doubt it. I think it took a much larger hand than ours to do that. Anyway, just around the corner. You can cheer up with Ed Daines.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. A girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. Cause I want a girl to call my own. I want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone.
To be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories all, and they use them to help us to
take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Oh, it's a ride, all right, but not a ride that all should take if you have a weak heart. Or if you are simply sensitive and don't want to hear dire material. And of course, I'm now warning you to get the children out of the room. Anybody in any of these categories, or even weakened immune systems, I don't know. You people should tune out. Ed Dames is not called Dr. Doom for nothing. Now, I'm still enjoying Helen's email, who wrote, Dear Art, last night's prediction show was so depressing that I actually found myself looking forward to hearing Ed Dames tonight to lighten things up a little. Yes, Ed Dames. The world's foremost remote viewing teacher, Major Edward A. Dames, a U.S. Army retired, is a decorated military intelligence officer, and is indeed an original member of the U.S. Army prototype remote viewing program, training program. He served as the training and operations officer, and I can assure you he did. I've seen all his military stuff, the official stuff, and he did exactly what he said he did. He did for the Defense Intelligence Agency's Psychic Intelligence Collection Unit, and that, yes, indeed, they did have one. It was admitted in the millions spent on it. Anyway, he currently serves as executive director for the Matrix Intelligence Agency, which is a private consulting group, and is a technical consultant for the feature film Suspect Zero. I bet a bunch of you have now seen the trailer for that. And plays the role of an FBI remote viewing instructor in the movie as well. In a moment, all of you have been warned. Here comes Major Dame. Stay right there. And now, Major Ed Dames. Hope you're prepared. Major Dames, are you there?
I'm here. As difficult as it is for me to say it, Happy New Year.
As difficult?
Yeah.
Really? I'm sure we'll explore that in great detail. First thing I want to say to you, Ed, is where the hell is my gold? Now,
that's
Major
impossible.
Dames said he was going to bring gold to my gate. Well, he was going to come knocking.
I meant what I said. What an odyssey. It's an ongoing odyssey.
An ongoing odyssey.
We started out, my team started out in Flagstaff, Arizona. For those of your listeners who are not familiar with what's going on the October show, after 21 years of researching in remote viewing, my team came up with a breakthrough technique to pinpoint anything, anywhere. In terms of...
like a psychic GPS.
Oh, it works better than that, yeah. Yeah, we can program the locations after we derive them, which takes about 72 hours average. Program the location right into our handheld GPS and go after it. So we chose, we wanted to do a photo op in front of your gate with a nice stash of loot in the back of the car. And what we chose was a stagecoach robbery for our first mission, 1879 stagecoach robbery up in the Flagstaff area. 22 gold bars, about $200,000 in gold coins, and that's 1879.
A definite substantial stash.
It is. So after we derived the latitude and longitude right down to a Nat's derriere,
yes,
looked at the map that was on public land, national forest near Flagstaff.
Yes.
And so we always do this map reconnaissance first. Even in the military, we did that, of course, with hostages and terrorist situations. So here's this gold sitting out in the near forest by a trail on the map. Looks real easy. We fly up to Flagstaff, rent some cars, get in as far as we can in the woods, starts snowing. So we hike in with our top-of-the-line gold detector, and we hit a fence, a brand-new fence, which began to disturb me, a fence, because this is National Forest, so there should be no fence there. I get my binoculars out, I look beyond the fence, and there's a brand new house sitting about 40 feet away from where we need to dig or look. Private property.
Oh.
Was not on the map. So, we turn around, We fly back to Las Vegas. We sit down and say, well, let's go look for some raw gold. Maybe Art will be happy with some nuggets, or if I can take my rock hammer and knock off some exposed gold somewhere. So we sit down. We gin up a search problem. We solve that and find what we're looking for, a significant deposit of gold south of Vegas, southeast.
What's going on with our phone line here, Ed?
Say again?
Something is going for, just as you're saying where the gold is, something went berserker with the phone line. Second time that's happened. Okay, so anyway, you find gold, near Pahrump. Is that right?
About 20 miles to the southeast of Pahrump. And the, there's a mountain range there.
Yes.
And so we go up, we plug in the coordinates in our GPS. We go up near the ghost town of Good Springs in the Spring Mountains.
Yes.
We hike the 5 miles to this site. And meanwhile, my partner, Brent Miller, has this top-of-the-line gold detector on. It's not doing anything. We get two hits on old bullets. That's all. Huh. So we make it to exactly where my handheld GPS says is the supposed gold.
Yes.
The metal detector goes crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I said, great. I start digging. And as I dig, every time I throw the soil away, the metal detector still keeps singing very loud. And then the soil itself that I throw away, that soil is also...
What is going on here? Are you hearing that on your end?
I am, Art. I heard it earlier, just before the show started as well.
Do you have call waiting?
It's not call waiting.
Oh, I was asking whether you have call waiting as a service. It sounds.
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. We're being toyed with, Ed. All right, so on with the story.
Okay. I'll make a long story short. This place is just loaded with gold-bearing soil.
Yeah.
And it's just saturated with gold bearing, with mineralized gold. So I look at my buddy, my partner there, and I say, I don't think Art wants us to bring a handful of dirt here. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board.
That wouldn't impress me at all, Ed. Ed, just dirt. No, it wouldn't.
And I don't want to go into the mining business and leach out gold. You know, I just don't want to do that. A place to go and things to do. But I think many people would, because it is.
Whoever's doing that, you can be handled.
Yeah.
All right. We'll redial here at the bottom of the hour. So, the bottom line here is...
The bottom line
you were, first of all, you were in my area, and you didn't come to visit me.
I'm not coming empty-handed. We have one more... What I'm going to do is give your listeners the exact location of that particular area.
Great. Oh, just great.
Somebody out there would want to stake a claim on it and actually mine it. There's plenty of old mines in the Spring Mountains. This one, one is undiscovered.
Where are you going to post this? On your website, brother, mine.
I'm going to give it to you right now.
No. What kind of land is this?
It's public land, Art.
Public land.
Yeah.
And what can a private citizen do if there's gold on public land? I don't know what the law is.
They can file a prospect. They can stake a claim and they can prospect that place and they can put a mine in.
All right.
And there's a lot of gold in that soil.
Fine. What do I care? Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the location. Program all you miners out there and prospectors. Program this into your GPSs.
Yes.
North, 35 degrees, 48 minutes, 33.5 seconds. West.
Wait a minute, 33.5 seconds?
Correct.
Okay, got it. And west,
one.
Oh, wait, start again.
Okay, longitude is 115.
115.
27.
27.
21.5.
21.5.
Right there is where your gold detectors go off.
There be gold.
That's right. Now, what we've decided to do is pick another target, and this time it's another stagecoach robbery that's worth a whole lot of money, and it's in the Carson City area too. So what we'll do is take some pictures of us out in the field and digging. It's a 300-pound strong box filled with gold.
Why didn't you go up to this house that had been built on the last stagecoach robbery dump place and knock on the door and say, hey, you want to make a deal?
Yeah, we thought about that, of course. And my partner really did. And we may do that in the future, but it's not as impressive as actually, you know, getting pictures of digging it up and taking it down the perron.
I was so looking forward to the, I don't know.
Just hold on a little bit longer.
Big nuggets or bars or something.
Yeah, we'll do this Carson City one. It's up by the, it's 300-pound strong box.
Okay, what I received, Ed, I mean, I wanted to get dramatic at the beginning of the program there and pound on the table a little bit, but I did receive a note from one of your people saying, look, Ed had found some smaller quantity of gold, but he didn't feel it was sufficient to bring to your house or something like that.
No, they must have been. Somebody might have been referring to the mineralized gold.
They might have been. Yes.
Yeah, but we're not going to bring dirt, you know, and show you. Hey, look at the metal detector. I can, you know, leach it out. I'm not a miner. I don't want to do that. I'd just rather go for the.
So you are though. You are going to go for another stagecoach robbery.
Yes. This is one where the good guys caught up with the bad guys, killed them, except for one, Manuel Gonzalez, who was sent to prison and would not divulge the location of the strongbox, and he died before he could get there. It's a typical type of thing, except this is a 300-pound strongbox.
So when can I expect you to arrive at my gate with a strongbox?
Oh, let's see. This is January, February. Depends on whether there's snow on the ground there. We'll mount an operation in about 3 to 4 weeks. It should take us no more than 2 days to locate the target. So figure on that.
In the meantime, north 35, 48, 33.5, west 115, 27, 21.5. And how close is that to me, Ed?
It's about 20 miles.
Good.
Yeah, it's 20 miles.
Ha, ha, ha. All right. Okay, so then sometime in the spring or by the spring, then I should expect a strong box. That really is going to impress me.
Yeah, it'll impress both of us.
All right. All right, you're a remote. Oh, by the way, Ed, I do have to give you this, and I do give you this. Whoever that is, that's about six times now. Ed, last night, I read a shocking prediction. I don't know if you happened to listen to the program last night or not, but it was the annual prediction show that I do. Prediction number 94, made in 2003 for 2004, was shocking all right. It was of a tsunami. It was the biggest hit. I mean, in capital letters, I just wrote down tsunami. And we went back and we replayed the phone call where that prediction was made. And the person on the phone said, I've been trained by Ed Dames. And then he went on to say something like, I can't really tell you what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to have to tell you anyway. It's tsunami. And that was a big, major, the biggest and most major hit of any of the predictions, obviously, we received. And that person claimed to have been trained by you.
I've put together an entire infrastructure now, Art, to support both the basic students and the advanced students. So that's, you're going to see that more common than not. And that's what I do. I'm an educator. This is what we do.
Well, I thought it was impressive, Ed.
Well, thank you.
Even if we didn't get the gold yet.
Yeah, well, you'll have the gold. You'll have some gold.
Okay.
You know, we'll keep on plugging away.
All right. Bars would be good.
The strong box is probably coins, but I'm not. We won't know.
Coins would be all right. Bars would be really impressive, though.
Okay.
All right. So we have many things we can talk about this night. I also want to note, by the way, Ed, that we just had a major X class sun flare, and somebody else wrote an email to me noting that every time you're on, we have a major flare.
That was the second one today.
Well, I don't know. I haven't checked that recently, but there was a pretty big X-class flare, and they do accompany your appearances.
I'll see if I can arrange another one.
Everybody, I promised a caller I would ask you when the kill shot's going to be, whether it will occur in 2005. He very much wanted to know. Have you nailed down timelines sufficiently? Tell me that.
Well, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Tangentially, you talked about the Scotsman, an article in the Scotsman earlier.
Yes.
Last hour.
Oh, you did hear that.
I heard last hour, yes. And the Scotsman also had an article that was titled Warning of Repeat of Historic Climate Catastrophe. A sudden and catastrophic change happened to Earth's climate about 5,000 years ago.
That's right.
Okay. The most likely explanation I'm quoting now is a huge solar oscillation which caused the sun's energy output to fall precipitously
mm-hmm.
and then flare up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been calling the kill shot here. That's what I'm saying, that event, that same type of event that happened about 5,200 years ago is what we're right on the cusp now.
Do you know that a group of Israeli scientists, Ed, believe that the dinosaurs were killed by irradiation from the sun, not the traditional means we think, but rather the sun did it. They're a big group of scientists in Israel.
Yeah, that's a little bit further back than I would want to try to establish a pattern with it. So 11,500 years in the past is about as far back as my team goes in trying to establish geophysical patterns. Speaking of patterns, I posted the map. I asked Sean, your webmaster, to post a map on your homepage.
A map?
A map with the location of the next 9-plus magnitude earthquake on it.
Oh, my. All right, I'm on my way.
This is the next major catastrophe on the planet, and there will be a lot more. We'll talk about those.
All right, now, wait a minute. I'm already on the website. How do I get to this map?
It's right there on the Coast to Coast homepage.
Oh, my God, it's right in front of me.
That big red marker there,
yep.
Half 0.5 degrees south of the equator.
I see it.
Okay, that is right. That is the next. That is an indicator for the next major catastrophe on Earth, which happens to be another earthquake. Unfortunately for the Indonesian people, it's also in Indonesia, albeit 2,000 miles to the east. That's right on the tip, the northwest tip of New Guinea.
Right. Yes.
Right there.
Yes, the map is quite clear.
And that is an earthquake. It won't be a volcano. That will be an earthquake.
Well, all right. What about magnitude?
9-plus in March.
9-plus in March.
In the month of March, we're starting to be able to get closer to nailing things down. So what this means is that there isn't going to be a recovery. There won't be any more recoveries on Earth. Things are picking up too rapidly for anything to recover, whether it's Iraq, or whether it's the results of this last terrible catastrophe, things will be moving too rapidly.
Why did you not see and report the earthquake that did occur?
We were looking for gold.
Okay, answer. I guess
we get what we look for. We get what a remote viewer is trained to get exactly. I train them to get exactly what they want.
So then the occurrence of this earthquake and tsunami is what put you on to looking for what was coming after that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're going to do this as an ongoing project now, and the goal is to prepare people psychologically, logistically, and financially. From now on, as I've mentioned before, time is still a little bit shaky for us, although we're getting better. What my team will do from this point onward after this terrible catastrophe is look at the next one, because we know and you know that we can do that. So after this next one occurs, we'll open up the books again, pull out our pens, and then go for the next one after that, which I can talk to you about what I already think that is going to be.
All right. Well, hold that. We'll follow up here at the bottom of the hour. Yeah, just off the coast of New Guinea. Maps right on the front page of the coasttocoastam.com website. I'm Art Bell. Guest, Major Ed, Dr. Doom Dames. We'll be right back.
Mama's dancing, baby on her shoulder.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is Major Ed Dames. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? There are dire predictions made on a program like this, so I've already warned you, but I'll do it again. If you're sensitive to that, can't handle this kind of info, then best not listen. For in a moment, Major Dames returns. Gold for the taking, the precise location being north, 35 degrees, 48 minutes, 33.5 seconds, west, 115, 27 minutes, and 21.5 seconds. Oh, it's going to be so interesting to see what somebody does with that. Just out of curiosity, Ed, that those exact numbers you gave near prompt here, if somebody exploits this, is there a lot of gold there?
Yeah, we use the search in our search term, our remote viewing search term. We use the term significant, and that usually means exactly what it means. So it's
bunch of gold.
Yeah, a bunch of gold.
Well, you know there are going to be people out hunting. There's lots of people who love to hunt.
They'll go
to that location, so
yeah.
I'm sure I'll hear from them, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have the map to what you think. God, that's god-awful. I mean, they just had this horrible, horrible, biblically-sized event, in my opinion, and here you're predicting another one. Now, with this one, most of the deaths were as a result of the tsunami that was produced by the earthquake. Do you see anything like that involved with this?
We have not looked at the effects, only the event itself, but we can look at the effects. I can guess and speculate that because of its location, that Mindanao, southern Philippines, because of the population density there, if there is a tsunami generated, and there probably will be, that, let's say, that's about 600 miles, so they have about an hour and a half, roughly, before they would get hit by a tsunami produced by that event.
Mm.
And the population density there is so great that we're talking about a lot of casualties, which is one of the reasons why I feel obligated to continue to do this, build up a track record that's successful, and then get listened to. That way I can feel good about saving some lives.
Well, it does make a difference when you have a track record. I mean, there's no question about it. A track record is very important.
That starts somewhere.
You've been doing this for a while now, Ed. I mean, years and years and years and years and years. So are there any good statistics on what your actual track record is of public pronouncements, ones that can be tracked?
No, I think other than Coast to Coast shows, which is not a systematic approach, and other than that X-45 flare last year that I predicted, it's not systematic enough. This time it has to be. I have to go on record in terms of predicting these catastrophes, which are not difficult for remote viewers to do because unconscious is geared towards survival. So the strongest signals, and I use that term just allegorically, the strongest signals per se are those that say, get out of the way, or this is what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they occur at night when you're sleeping, of course, in dreams, but dreams get all garbled up.
Well, maybe you'd like to comment on, I also read, and we discussed in the first hour, this remarkable story, and it is remarkable, Ed, 150,000 two-legged human beings and counting but not one animal. Not one animal.
Let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, let's.
Okay. Let me start by saying this. About 8 years ago, looking out over the horizon before our methods were our methods were still loose. 8 years ago was about 15 years after I was the operations and training officer of the military unit.
Mm-hmm.
So the techniques for remote viewing had evolved somewhat, but we're still a little bit loose. Looking over the horizon, we saw a time when the whales would not show up in, I live in Maui, in the Hawaiian Islands, where the whales would not show up. And they would not show up, and right after this occurred, there would be a small tsunami that would hit the western sides of some of the islands, at least three of the islands, which is a very rare occurrence, very rare. Not so rare historically on the eastern side of the islands where lives have been lost. The whales haven't showed up this year. Now, I dive every day that I'm home, which is about 2 weeks a month, and I can hear them on the water singing, and I always look forward to it. There's only a few that have sung this year. They're not here. Well, that tells me that to look seaward and keep my eyes open.
All right. Entertain me a little bit with what you believe, how the animals are. I mean, to me it's obvious and now a fact that the animals have this ability, Ed. How are they receiving this signal, do you think?
Ethology is the study of the innate behavior of animals, including man as an animal. And ethologists are pretty aware of the receptor mechanisms, not totally aware, but through research are aware of a lot of the receptor mechanisms that animals have, electric, magnetic, and in the case of birds, infrasound is a big one. Birds mm-hmm. navigate using one of their navigational tools, their instruments, is infrasound. The waves that crash on shorelines produce a very, very low and very powerful sonic that birds can use to navigate and know when they've overshot.
Then do the other mammals watch the birds? In other words, all the animals, Ed, they said not even, no squirrels, no rabbits, no elephants, no animals, Ed. I mean, there's something big here, really
yeah.
big. And
I don't have all the answers to that. I think that it's a combination of a number of things. Rupert Sheldrake would probably be in a better position to answer some of your questions in terms of psychic performance.
Maybe so.
But I can say this. As I've mentioned on your show in earlier years, people think that it was the U.S. Army or the CIA that really developed remote viewing as an intelligence collection tool, but the U.S. Navy actually started some of the original experiments in this country.
Oh.
One of the things that they did, experimenting, is in Australia, they took a bunch of Aboriginals who, in terms of the basic requirements for life, number one is food, number two is water, number three is shelter, and that's it. So when that's all you do have to worry about, there is not a lot of what used to be called in the electroencephalograph business, the EEG business, roof brain scatter. Roof brain scatter is something like this. If you go to Santa Monica and you go into a yoga studio and you see all these lovely things meditating?
Yes.
Okay, put an EEG on them, stick a bunch of electrodes on their head and watch what it looks like. They're about as close to a flat line as you and I are right now, because there's so many things that you have to think about in Santa Monica. You have to think about your dog's grooming. You have to think about the parking meter, the phone calls, everything else like that.
Yeah, I'm
so
sure
much
life is
stuff.
Hard in Santa Monica.
There's so much stuff there. You can't effectively clear the docket. There's
uh-huh.
always something rolling. But as
yes.
an Aboriginal in Australia, it's different. What the Navy did was take a very, very good, renowned dowser to the backcountry,
yes.
to the outback. They asked the dowser to find water, American dowser. At the end of half a day or several hours, it looked like a random walk in terms of game theory and Monte Carlo theory and mathematics. You have this something called a random walk.
Mm.
And this dowser was not able to find water. The same request of an Aboriginal, his body turn, a beeline across the desert for a couple of hours, stops, digs, and there's the water. His thinking brain did not get in the way of his mind body. He did not have all that linear stuff to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have this, but the only time it gets through to us is during sleep and dreams. So, for instance, unconscious, if it wants to tell you that you have pancreatic cancer, and you don't, it will try its best to the only time that it can get through to you is when your mind is quiet.
Right.
Your unconscious is your best friend to keep you alive.
So it comes as a dream.
It comes as a dream, but by the time you wake up, you've turned that into a war and a battle and something like that, because you can't derive, like we can as remote viewers, you can't extract the truth from the trash. It gets all mucked up like a snowball rolling downhill. You know,
sure.
It starts out pristine and it gets all covered with detritus and junk by the time it reaches the bottom. Well, animals have a different mind architecture. They do not anticipate. They just know. And they're not precognitive, because mind has nothing to do. There's no pre in cognition. Remote viewers know that. Mind is outside of time. So it's just cognition. And just like animals, they don't anticipate.
Mind is outside of time.
That's right. So for an animal all of a sudden gets a signal of danger, and it turns and runs. It doesn't know in time when that danger is. It just knows that right now it needs to move.
It knows it's immediate.
It knows it, yes. It knows it's immediate.
Immediate
body
danger. Yeah. But so if we were to be able to study this, do you think we would find out that, in fact, the mind is reaching out through time, understanding a momentous life-threatening event is happening, like right now, move your butt, run. And so the mind is actually traveling, in a sense, it's traveling in time, right?
It's tuning in, if you will. The brain is actually an oscillator. It's tuning in to a signal, a pattern of information. In this case, the most important patterns, you know, stay alive. You do this. If you hook electrodes, and there are some pretty good studies showing that if you hook electrodes up to a person, let's say we hooked Ramona up to a bunch of electrodes, and we took you to a distant location,
yeah.
We asked you to communicate with her telepathically, you would probably laugh. But
I've heard this.
You'd humor me, and Ramona probably wouldn't know anything. And yet, when you looked at the instrumentation hooked up to any kind of readout,
yes.
You would see all kinds of bells and whistles.
I believe it. Yes, I do believe it.
Because the body knows, you know, especially with a husband and wife or twins, they're tied to the hip telepathically. So, but the signal is overwhelmed. The signal to noise ratio in modern day life is so overwhelmed by all these things that we view as important that we can't hear this little voice anymore. Animals don't have that problem.
Well, some few people hear it, but it's pretty rare, isn't it? And for most in the modern world, it's lost in the noise.
It's lost, and the ones that hear it, the ones that are off the scale, in other words, those people who are born with a long psychic antenna, that can be a curse as much as a blessing.
I'm sure.
We've talked about before, because they're getting all kinds of signals from everybody, and they can't sort out their own signals from other people sometimes. So if I train them or one of our professional trains them in remote viewing, then they can structure and get the dials tuned the right way and keep the signals, keep that signal on the station they want rather than have chaos in their mind.
Well, I've often wondered if some innate ability might account for success versus failure. There are some people in life who move from failure to failure to failure, while others seem to go from success to success to success, and we end up with multimillionaires and billionaires and people with great power or whatever it is they're seeking. And I've always wondered if the difference might be some degree of ability with the mind.
I've seen Harvard Business Review articles on intuition that argue pro and against that. The only argument that I would have, I don't have a lot to say about it because it's too complex cognitively and psychically, but I will say that the error I saw in the Harvard Business Review article that I read, and this is about 2.5 years old now, was And even in parapsychology labs, scientists continue to make this mistake. Those of us in the field know it is a mistake. Mind is different than brain, and thinking is different than mind. And scientists still get this confused.
All right.
Mind is a field. Thinking occurs in an organ. Without that organ, there is no thinking, but there's still mind. That's where we go as remote viewers, to this global mind, to collect information. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to get.
All right. I've got to press you a little for it. We've got the map of this earthquake. God knows, I hope it doesn't happen. And you said there would be one that would follow this.
I'm saying that the next up, my guess is, although we're not going to know until and unless this one happens, then we can look at the next major catastrophe up. But my guess right now is the Manju experimental breeder reactor in Japan. We have seen. I did a special for a Japanese TV station last year, and in putting this special together, we're looking at the next earthquake in Tokyo and its effects, which we did describe. People dying in subway tunnels that were being flooded, people drowning, but that's about the extent of it. However, to our horror, we found that this earthquake and wave action would break the Manju experimental reactor, which is the worst possible reactor you'd want to break anywhere in the Pacific.
Okay.
Because we're talking another Chernobyl and many, many more, hundreds of thousands of deaths beyond what we're seeing now as a result of the Sumatra tsunami.
Okay. I'll say this to you, and maybe this will resonate with you. When I had the Hopi on the program, we did a show in which we had to actually translate, and we had Hopi elders on the show.
I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
During that program, they talked exactly the same way, as though if and when event A happens, that will be the kickoff for event B. I mean, they got very specific about what it was, and event C and so forth. So they foretold events only, how can I put this? In a linear way, one after the other, and they could put no further time lines or anything else on it. They just simply said, when this happens, when you see this in the sky, the following will happen. That's how they foretold.
I know that that's on the inscription rock as well. It turns out that for us, I mean, Art, what we're doing as professional remote viewers is
sounds just like what you're doing, Ed.
No different than individuals have done throughout history, except we do it in a very precise way to accommodate the needs of science and intelligence, and that's why this structure is here, and why we're good at what we do in describing things. But in terms of time, I'm afraid that we have to approach these problem sets very similar to the Hopi. The only way we know we can get it right in terms of upcoming catastrophes is when one happens, we look at the next one. Then when that happens, we look at the next one, rather than reaching out too far, and we have failed in some of those cases. Except
when you saw this quake and tsunami occur, were you beating yourself up at all over the fact that you did not look for something so near term?
I wasn't beating myself up because I was too busy being sad and grieving. My son works for UNICEF, so but it was a wake-up call for me to say, you know, oh, come on, I've got to systematize this prediction stuff, and we've got to do it professionally now. We have to teach many, many more people to do what we do. In fact, you know, one of my students called up and got it right last year. We're teaching people to do that now. So what you're going to have very soon is a large group of people who can split off and look at different problem sets like this and maybe save some lives, hopefully.
Well, I do agree that you've got to make a system out of it, and you've got to begin hitting these big events. And I do, believe me, the average person just laughs and says, ah, ha, ha, why in the world wouldn't they have known about that? I do understand that you have to be looking for something like this in order to find it.
We have to tune in to that pattern of information.
But it's as though, for your credibility and so that people do listen to you, you should, I guess, be on the constantly vigilant for something of, I just don't know how you do it. I mean, will this happen? Will that happen?
Well, in this case here, for instance, we specifically, those people who are learning remote viewing now, from my products and my online courses, they know what I'm talking about. We specifically look ahead, in this case, at the next Earth. We look at Earth's next major catastrophe. The global mind adjudicates that particular search term, and what it has dumped out, in this case, is a geophysical event that's very large.
Oh, I've got it, all right. We've got the map right on the front page. Hold on, Ed. We're breaking here at the top of the hour. Listen, I will again give you this. The man who did say tsunami, and he did, we have the proof of that, also said that he was one of Ed Dame's students. I'm Art Bell.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. Kim in Edmonton, Alberta, way up north, brings up a pretty good point. Kim says, unless I miss something, Art, well, gee, I'm a little concerned over the Coast to Coast process. You asked Ed important questions regarding accuracy, yet at the same time failed to ask the critical question, I guess in Kim's opinion. His first task was to find a child. Did he? In a moment, we will ask. We seem to have lost Major Ed Dames on the line here. Let's redial him. This was a very critical juncture, to be sure. So I'll redial, and we'll see what we get. Let's see. I'll bring it up so you can hear it ring. Ed, there you are, Ed.
Yeah.
My goodness, what happened?
We had a big storm on the islands today, so it sometimes short-circuits things.
I see. All right. You may then have missed it. Kim in Edmonton, Alberta, chides me along here and says, hey, Art, unless I miss something, I'm a little concerned over the coast-to-coast process. You asked Ed important questions about accuracy, but failed to ask him a critical question. His first task last time was to find a child. Did he?
I can't talk about that case, nor the BTK serial killer. Those two cases I can't talk about on the air. But I will definitely, you'll be the first to know when the press reports something. I'll make sure you have that.
Huh. Can you tell us why you can't talk about them on the air? Or is that something you can't talk about?
In the case of the child, it's because of the family. And it's just not something that I should... In fact, I probably won't be talking about children on the air anymore. That was a learning curve for me.
What brings that on? Why? What happened?
It's because of the nature of this show and the way people take it. I can gain a lot more ground in terms of remote viewing and credibility by talking about, you know, finding gold or material things or predictions. But the elements that go into locating a child's remains, because by the time we get there, there are always remains, and the family, it's just not something, it's National Enquirer-ish type of things when it comes out on the air. I don't like to do that.
Okay.
Also a request of the parents.
All right, so then you've changed all around here. In other words, you're going to start doing very material, specific material locations, that sort of thing. You're going to do disasters that can be predicted. Exactly the kind of thing, as a matter of fact, that the audience is always writing to me and saying, well, why in the hell didn't he predict so-and-so?
Yeah. No, I just think that in the past I've made a mistake by talking about missing children on the air. I've been accused of exploiting missing children and those kinds of things and in the past. And I don't like that personally. So I won't talk about that. And in the case of a serial killer that I am personally funding and hunting because he's a monster, I'm not talking about that because it's a police case and I don't want to tip this guy off. I just want to be a bad nightmare until we actually nab him.
So you've done a sea change then in the way you're going to handle the, I guess, public aspect of your remote viewing. I mean, you're changing sort of everything in a way.
When it comes down to individuals, when we're dealing with an individual, whether it's a serial killer or a missing child,
mm-hmm.
it's too emotionally charged for the family. It's too hard on people.
Well, I do know that people get very emotional about things. I get the emails from the listeners, and you know they do say some of that. So,
yeah, the gold and the predictions, they're very glamorous, and the people are watching those closely. But they're watching the missing children cases that we do for the wrong reason. And I don't care about taking hits in other arenas, but this is a very, as you know, missing children is a very, very important thing to me. And I don't feel comfortable any longer talking about that publicly. We'll let whatever the press does with it, they can do that. Yes, we're bringing closure to a missing child's case in March when the snow melts in a particular area. Yes, we're going to roll up the BTK killer in Wichita, Kansas, and we will. I'm personally flying in to handle that one. But I'm not going to talk about it. I'll just let you see the results.
Okay.
You'll see them.
All right. Hey, your movie, what's the status of your movie?
Oh, it's out and over. Tom Cruise, Paula Wagner, producer Paula is now producing Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. And so it's almost out on DVD now.
Well, I have yet to see it, and I would grab it instantly. So I guess just on the verge of being on DVD?
It is on the verge. I'll get you a copy, and I trained Sir Ben Kingsley for his role in the movie, and that was great. And I'll get you a copy.
That's excellent. You did, huh? How was he to work with?
Oh, he's wonderful. Incredible.
Great actor. Great actor, actually. So I'm very much looking forward to the movie.
It was quite an honor to have trained him.
Yeah,
and while I'm talking about training, we've been talking about training. I like to plug for people how to learn this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. They can go to your website and hit any of the links there next to my name, or they can go directly to learnrb.com, and they can learn as much as they want about it. All of the support is there. The DVDs are sold singly or in packages, and all of the support is free, ongoing. It's a big remote viewing community. I've got all the experts under one cyber roof, and it's all free of charge.
Well, I don't know if you run into people like me very frequently, Ed, but I don't want to learn because I don't want to know.
No, I do run into people like you, but I run into worse cases, too, where people are afraid to know. You don't want to know because you're comfortable with the things the way they are now, and I know that you are, but that's fine with me. But some people...
I understand that life has surprises, shocks, tragedies, happinesses, all sorts of things ahead. And, for example, I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I don't want to know.
Neither do I.
Let it be a surprise.
Neither do I.
Well, okay, but I don't even think I want to know other things. In other words, I've thought about it, too. In other words, I understand there really is something to remote viewing. That I don't doubt at all. And I've thought hard about it, Ed, and I just don't want to know. But there are a lot of people who do want to know, and I suppose who could even use it to profit, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And there are people that do that. I have two of my students who have made a videotape on how to win the lottery, and they teach people how to do that because I taught them, but I have no interest in it.
Do they have any track record?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. That's why they...
They've won lotteries. Really?
Yeah, mother-daughter team, and they have a great track record. I taught them how to do it. They did it. Now they're teaching other people.
And
I have no interest.
And they hit what?
They hit the Texas State Lottery twice.
Really?
Yeah.
The Texas State Lottery twice. Now that's definitely impressive, Ed.
Well, it's not that difficult to do, actually.
I know, but see, this is the kind of thing. Maybe it's a stupid thing, but it registers with people if this talent really exists, this ability really exists, it would be used for these reasons. And you know, you almost got to wonder how many people who are winners out there secretly plucked their number from the ether using remote viewing or something like that.
Over the years, most of it started out by, I taught people how to describe the winners of football games and baseball games and go for long shots, and they just made a fortune, and they did become very quiet. I would rather just go for that 300-pound strong box. You know, that's more fun. I'm out in the field.
Well, but those are the kind of things, along, I might add, with the lottery and other things that people can get their teeth into and say, huh, maybe there is really something to all of this. I mean, there are many doubters, you know, Ed.
I understand. I agree with your logic, and I'm just saying that personally, I'll take the strong box and let my students push remote viewing, winning the lottery. They can do that. It's just a matter of choice. That's all.
Okay. You do turn some corners in your career. I mean, you realize talking about children, and then all of a sudden, boy, stop. Not going to talk about children anymore because of the way people react.
And predominantly, yes, yeah. And there's a learning curve involved in everything. The more work you do, the faster you learn. And as long as you don't make the same mistakes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blonde, so I learn slower.
So there's no cosmic prohibition against using this kind of ability for profit, right?
Probably not. I mean, I would not think there would be.
Well, I've had an awful lot of people who claim to be in the psychic business or visionaries or, I don't know, any number of claims of extraordinary PSI-type talent, Ed, and most of them say, no, there is some sort of cosmic prohibition against profiting in some way from doing this. And that always seemed to be a sort of a big question mark with me. I mean, what the hell? It's just an ability. It's it's neutral, right? It could be used for good or bad. What is
your
going on?
Your call cannot be completed.
Oh,
trial.
For heaven's sake.
Please hold while we connect you to a Sprint representative.
Really?
To continue
I'd just
English.
Love to talk to a Sprint representative.
Please hold while we connect your call.
Fine. See if I don't.
Hello, and thank you for calling.
Another
Unfortunately,
room.
Our offices are closed.
Yeah, right. I was gonna bitch to whoever answered. Unfortunately, our offices are closed right now. Would you like to leave a message? Probably. we'll redial this. Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, we have not been treated well by the telephone company this time. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Let's try it one more time. Ed?
A phone call from France.
You wouldn't believe what happened on this end. I'll tell you, I've had some adventures over the years with telephones. Really weird, weird stuff.
I think in terms of ethics, I don't teach ethics. I teach remote viewing. Mm-hmm. And what people do, ethics are your own. They're your own value system. They're what you do, you do it. And
do you is that all you ever say in your sessions, you know, in your, when you privately teach somebody how to remote view, do you ever touch on the ethics question at all with your students?
I only in one aspect. I say to students, and I guess I say it because I would want them to do the same thing. I do not feel that having a special ability gives you the license to be able to do everything. So I don't think that invading another person's head necessarily is ethical. However, I even crossed the line there too. I did it years ago with Saddam Hussein.
Uh-huh.
I've done it with the BTK. You know, tonight I'll be back in the head of the BTA, Mr. BTK, the bind, torture, kill serial killer in Wichita. I'll be back in his head tonight. And so I make exceptions. I don't know if that's right or wrong.
Let me stop you for a second. I guess I would like to know, when you do it, I don't care about the ethics of it right now, when you're in somebody's head, Ed, what's it like? Are you feeling, touching, seeing everything that person is? Are you simply a sort of a sidekick to their thinking and exactly what they're thinking at that moment? Or where are you really with respect to that person?
It's not tactile. It's more like telerobotics in terms of just you do the emotions and the thinking. So, for instance, Mr. BTK, I'll be in his head, and I'll know what he's thinking about, and I'll know what his emotions are.
What are the
I'll be able to do a one-to-one correspondence.
Are there dangers in doing that?
For him, there are, because I'm getting closer.
For him, not to you though. There's
no, none whatsoever.
Not a danger in being exposed to a thinking process so twisted and alien to everything you know yourself. That you, isn't there the danger you become immersed in it? Well, that might be a yes. I'm still thinking back to when you do you remote viewed Lucifer, right?
Yeah, Satan.
Satan, yeah, right, Satan.
Yeah. The only concern I have about myself is that I don't know exactly what it is in my personality that makes me loathe this person so much more than other killers. And that concerns me in terms of introspection. I don't know if I'm kidding myself and saying I don't hate this person, I just want to bring him to justice or not, but I'm afraid that maybe hatred is involved. So, you know, there's things like that. But I have to deal with it. So what?
So then when you're in somebody else's mind, you are like a spectator. I'm trying to get a sense of, said it wasn't tactile, but still, is it like being a spectator, Ed?
It's like watching a movie. It's like watching a motion picture, a film. It's just like that, where you're suspending your own belief system, because that's why what you paid your money to do. That just walk in a theater, you know, and pretend and engage in this illusion.
Uh-huh.
But it's so full that you may cry or you may laugh or whatever, even though there's only a bunch of phantasmagorical images on a flat surface. It's just a bunch of lights flashing. But you bought into that illusion so much that it's affecting your thinking and it's affecting your emotions. It's just like that, no more, no less.
Okay. When you
it's
did...
just information.
Yeah. Yeah. When you remote viewed Satan, was it like that? I mean, you were remote viewing the concept of Satan, and I remember so well your words that it was an entity, you know, that it really was. It was a real entity. Satan was a real thing.
As far as I was concerned.
Yeah, yeah. And the serial killer's bad enough, but Satan. And I still get emails saying Ed was never the same, ever the same afterwards.
Yeah, I've heard this before, too. You know, I get all
well, I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Well, you're never the same. Every day you wake up, you're not the same. You recreate your world and things like that. You try to be the same, but for the people in Sri Lanka, life's not going to be the same as it was 2 weeks ago. So things change. Yeah, information can change you. But it didn't change who I am. It didn't change me spiritually. It scared the crap out of me, but it didn't change me in terms of my personality.
Yeah. Well, that's a chilling thing just to think that it's a Satan is a real entity.
You bet it is.
An extremely dark, extremely scary...
It wasn't dark. It was the most crystalline, beautiful thing I have ever seen, ever perceived. It was
a metaphorical
crystalline beauty.
This
they could suck the soul right out of you.
Fine.
There.
Well, then it's a metaphorical dark.
Yeah.
Anything that can suck the soul out of you is dark. Definitely dark.
But it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
And scarier than hell.
In a cold, deadly way.
Oh, much worse than that. That's a euphemism.
Huh.
There are no words for.
Do you remember? Do you remember offhand what it was that made you do that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It was the Columbine incident. The Columbine incident, as I said before on past shows, there was no precedent in history for children killing children, and I went to look for somewhere. Searching the matrix, the global mind, for what may be different to have instigated something like that.
Yes.
And I went looking spiritually in other dimensions to see if, you know, as above, so below type of thing.
Incidentally, Ed, I'm not saying it's over, but it's you know, it seemed like it happened for a while, and I'm not saying children have stopped killing children, because I suppose it still goes on, but it's like we went through a spate, a period of it, and then it seems like it's let up. Listen, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. I wonder if anybody else has noted that. Remember that? All the head shakers, kids killing kids and all the rest of it. And again, I'm not saying it's ended, but not at the scale that we had it for a while. Pretty weird stuff, huh? But that's what we talk about in the middle of the night. Weird stuff.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, Ed said he can get into the mind of another person, or even entity, perhaps. But another person, into the mind of another person. And you know what I wonder? I wonder, once in there, once in another person's mind, what can you do to that mind, if anything, while you're in there? In a moment, we'll ask. Remember, Fred says the gold is at north 35 degrees, 48 minutes, 33.5 seconds. West 115 degrees, 27 minutes, 21.5 seconds. Ed, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Ed, that's a pretty obvious question. I mean, you say you can get into the mind of another person, be it, I don't know, a serial killer, or I guess anybody really. And if that's possible, then the obvious, an obvious question anyway, is what can you do anything to that mind?
Other than, only, there's only one instance, I know, one situation where you can, and that is where a team of, let's say, five professionals who are trained and really know what they're doing.
Yes.
Remote viewers now. Okay,
yes.
Really know what they're doing. If they, in concert, target a specific individual, and that individual is let's say, psychically gifted, then that individual can be affected. And in other words, they wouldn't be able to sleep much if this occurred during the night, and they would lose a lot of sleep.
You could do what? You would create anxiety?
No, what you actually do is they actually perceive elements of what you look like and who you are. We ran into this with the former KGB team, the extrasensor team in the Soviet Union, who are highly gifted psychics. The KGB never learned how to train this like we did in the U.S.
So what exactly happened with the KGB? What were they able to do?
Well, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
It's complex.
Sure.
Bob Monroe at Monroe Institute, many of us went to the Monroe Institute where we engaged in training in altered states.
Right.
It was a good way to vet and assess, for me as operations officer too, to vet and assess potential recruits for my team. It just exposed them to the idea that you've got an unconscious, you've got other, you know, mechanisms in your body that you may not be aware of as a soldier, and, you know, what do you think about that? And based upon a person's experience and what they thought of it, I would decide whether or not they were suitable for the program. Well, the KGB thought that the Monroe Institute was the center of our operations. It was actually our operational base because we were spending so much time there. And Bob Monroe, as the person who ran the center, was being bombarded constantly by three to five individuals who he could actually perceive, and he knew they were Russian.
No kidding.
Yeah, he came to me and the former operations officer and said, "Help, you know, I can't sleep, and what's going on here? Who are these people?"
Uh-huh.
And I mounted an operation to find out who these individuals were, and that's how I found the KGB extrasensor team. Then it became a war in the ether, both of us bouncing back and forth.
All right. The Cold War is over, sort of. Do you have any idea what the Russians are doing presently, Ed? Do you hear anything in the grapevine about where the Russians have gone, or have they dropped the whole thing, or what?
In terms of their extrasensor program?
Yes, sir.
No, they're not using it, although I did have to respond to a Pravda article 2 weeks ago. Actually, it was dated December 6th. And the article was about the U.S. team, but the title of it was why I had to write the author of the article. It said, the English translation is that CIA's remote viewers initiated quest for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So I responded, I wrote back and said, you know, the body of the text about the CIA and the Army team is fine, but that is not true. I personally briefed the Vice President of the United States and the National Security Council and said remote viewers have found that there are not weapons of, just the opposite, there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Iraq has a nascent biological warfare program hidden within its Department of Agriculture, and that is it. And I wrote that, you know, to the National Security Council, and that's how I responded to this Pravda article last month.
Hmm.
But the Soviets don't have anything going now. The Indian government does, and the Chinese are way ahead. And if we don't watch ourselves, the Chinese are also working in our sister science, too.
No, I'm all right. Wait, I'm interested in that. The Chinese have a big program. What are they doing? What do you know about that?
They have a very excellent remote viewing program, and
they have a nascent but growing program in terms of psychokinesis. Their goal being to at the same one that ours was that we didn't pursue was to influence the electronics on missile guidance systems using minds, group minds.
Ed, you speak Chinese, don't you?
对，我会说中文。
Yes, you sure do. Where were you taught Chinese, fluent Chinese? How did you learn that?
University of California, Berkeley.
Really?
I had a double major in biophysics and
All right. Well, as much Chinese as you're fluent in, you should... I mean, if the Chinese really are off on this trek so heavily, I would think you'd almost be tempted to go over there and interact and find out what's going on as best you could.
Oh, yeah. When they take over, the mayor of Chicago, Lex Luthor, ain't got nothing on me.
Huh.
No, just kidding. It is tempting. It is tempting. Very tempting. I have close ties in China. I have close friends in China and all that. But I'm so busy, Art. I just don't have the time.
They're, in effect, working on mind over matter?
Oh, and they're very good at it. See, they don't have the obstacles that we do in terms of our worldview. I digress for a moment. Dialectic materialism in the erstwhile Soviet Union, because you have a different mindset, a different philosophy, you look at the world a different way, that means you have a different science,
uh-huh.
That means the science creates a different technology, and so that's why I had such a hard time briefing at the White House and the National Security Council, because that's what I used to do, to say that the Soviets made this thing and they made that, where you get the not invented here syndrome. Well, we can't make it. How did they do it? Because they look at the world a different way, and they come up with different answers. Chinese have no prohibitions against mind over matter. Nothing is in the way of that.
Uh-huh.
Qigong masters and art, this is real, they can reach right through a glass bell jar and pull out an object.
Are you sure of that, Ed?
Oh, yeah. It's real art. It is totally real. And you're... Just the way that you're questioning.
What
me
have you
now,
done? Have you? Were you a first-hand observer?
No, I was not first-hand. In my spy days, I it was my job to know about these things, so I had to be sure it was right before I wrote up reports, intelligence assessments. And I have enough experience. I have enough experience with agents on the ground and agents that I sent to know that it's true. They really can do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
To reach through a physical barrier,
grab something and pull it out. And they can do more. They can do more than that. That's just the start, because nobody said they couldn't.
So what are the implications of that? What is somebody like that? Let's, just for the sake of the conversation, say it can be done, is done. You know, I'm more of a doubter than you are, Ed, but does it mean that with the mind, they're somehow changing the molecular structure so that they can, like they're invisible to, or what?
Yeah,
just give me a hint.
Yeah. I've done a lot of research in this area, too, so I can help you out a little bit. And skepticism is very healthy. You don't want, a nation of sheep. Skepticism is very healthy.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Okay, so what one of the things that's happening is, it turns out that, I'll give you one hint here. Robert John, remember, I think you've had him on the show before, up at Princeton University. He ran
Certainly, we've had a number of researchers, people have worked with Princeton, but Princeton itself officially won't talk about it, so you've got to get the people who...
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking psychokinesis here, or telekinesis, mind over matter. There's a particular metal that my team has discovered that for some reason, it's more reactive than... Remember the experiment, the little, when I caught you off guard and slowed down your clock on the wall?
I remember, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, there's a metal that's more responsive to mind action for some reason. Anyway, here's the deal. When the Qigong master concentrates on this jar and on the glass barrier, somehow he interacts with gravity, the gravitational field, and the magnetic field around the jar. We don't know how this is done, but we know that the interaction is at that level. So, it isn't so much that he's disturbing the molecular and electronic structure, per se, of the glass jar, as he's slowing down the inertia of the jar as it moves through space, as the Earth rotates.
Right.
And somehow it slows down, and in slowing down, the electrons somehow get spread out in some way that we don't understand. In other words, the jar, the mass, becomes less dense to the point where it gets sticky and you can stick his hand through it. So it actually slows down where the rest of the room moves faster. So he's slowing down, he's slowing down time, essentially, as we perceive time linearly, around the jar proper.
You seemed, when I said, are you sure they're doing this, you came back so quickly and so sure that they're doing it. How can you be that sure?
Well, it was my job to write the national to participate in writing the national intelligence estimates about foreign parapsychology. So, you know, you can't do that. You can't write that up, because it goes to the President of the United States and as well as the head of the CIA, without being right. You had to have your ducks in order. So your spies had to be really good, and your information sources had to be really good. You had to know what's going on.
I guess in a way I'm asking you what your sources were. How were you so deadly sure that they have this incredible ability?
All right, you know I can't talk about that. That's all down. That's
yeah, how much of what you did in those years was, percentage-wise, maybe, just give me a number, percentage-wise, are you unable to discuss?
Well, a lot of my work was as a science and technology spy master. It wasn't just a psychic spy master. So in terms of the psychic spying business, I can discuss at least 60% of what went on. A lot of that's been released now under the Freedom of Information Act request. In terms of the other stuff, probably only 20%. For instance, lasing of aircraft and those kinds of things. I can discuss about 5% of that. The other 95% is really how you bring down an aircraft with a laser.
Well, give me the... all right, fine. Let's go for the 5% you can discuss. It's a big controversy right now. It's a big thing in the news, as you know. People pointing lasers at aircraft. Somebody called in the first hour and said, look, anything you'd point from the ground would be at an angle that wouldn't affect the cockpit.
Yeah, it would. A pilot's head sticks up far enough so that, you know, you can hit him.
You can hit him. Can you bring down an airplane, disable a pilot with a laser?
You bet. Yeah, the Russians, they really did this. I mean, there are open
I remember. Oh, now listen, I remember the open source stories about incidents over some Pacific islands years ago, toward the end of the
war. Unfortunately, though, the pilots didn't know, because the Soviets used a carbon dioxide laser, very powerful. That goes right to the optic nerve, and you never see it.
Wasn't there a case of a partial blinding of a pilot, or even several? I can't remember. There were.
Yeah.
So then our defense people are well aware that it can be done, and so that's why we're taking all this so seriously? I mean,
no,
I would just say
normally
pointing a laser from the ground, you know, you're just not going to do much.
No. The night vision laboratories and all the and Air Force sources and things like that, they're not going to be talking to the FAA about too much, I caveat that, about what they know, because it's classified. Because we may want to use the same thing against somebody, right?
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you can look at what's going on right now and find out more?
Oh, of course. But we'd have to take it incident by incident. And I think all you've got is just either some kids, you know, with a let's say, a 1-watt laser or smaller if they're closer to the airport, scaring the heck out of pilots, you know. And but, yes, we could... Incident by incident. We could, same thing I'm doing with Mr. BTK, we could take a particular lasing incident and trace it back to the actual individual, the primary residence of the individual, those kinds of things.
This Mr. BTK, he's the serial killer, right?
He's one in Wichita.
Uh-huh. Do you have any sense yet of why, when you're in his mind, he so particularly, I don't know, gets to you? Why more than... I mean, you've dealt with a lot of negative stuff like this in the past. Why this one? Why is it so bad?
He's a cold-hearted killer. I mean, he's done hideous, heinous things to people and families. He's one of the worst of the worst. Now, there's many people I know incidents and criminals like him. They have been out there and they've been captured. So there are others like him, but this one's still on the streets. And
how many times have you been in his mind?
Enough to get a pretty good sense of what I'm dealing with before we go roll him up. Yeah.
I take it that being in a serial killer's mind would quickly lead to his location and the ability to get him, wouldn't it?
No.
Oh,
we have to use our traditional remote viewing methods, the same ones we teach our students, the same things. In fact, it's not a difficult thing. No, there, if you're in the person's mind, whether it's Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden or Mr. BTK, you're picking up the thoughts and the emotions. That's it. You need the physical descriptors of the culprit, the residence, primary workplace, those kinds of things too. The same old, you know, drudge work that we do as remote viewers.
Right.
We need that stuff too to go find them. And that's not that difficult anymore. It used to be.
All right.
It's evolved so much.
One more time on the big question. A lot of people bugging me about it. The kill shot. Yeah, of course, that's one people want to talk about. In fact, we're going to open the lines here shortly. People can ask you themselves, but they really want that pinned down. Why? Because you did hit the shot over the bow. We've never, in all the history of looking at the sun, seen anything like it. It clearly was a shot over the bow, and that's the event before the event. The event is the kill shot, and people are very, very, very concerned about that, Ed, and the timing of it.
Yeah, here's let me cover a couple of things here. Did you watch the DVD, the Kill Shot?
No.
Do you haven't have a chance?
No,
to?
Not yet.
Okay, people can see, information about that is at thekillshot.com, where people can call a number, and it's an inexpensive DVD that I made about that. Can I give the number out?
Oh, yes, of course you can plug your stuff, sure.
Okay. For either learnrv.com products, all the things that I teach full time, or the Kill Shot, you can go to thekillshot.com, or you can call 1-866-607-8439. The Kill Shot, the harbinger of this series of solar flares, these very powerful solar flares I've been talking about for so long.
Yes.
Because we're not able to pin down time so accurately yet, I had to bracket that, not bracket the event, but look at the nearest preceding recognizable event.
Yes.
Okay, that everybody would know unequivocally is something, we're all gonna recognize it. It's not gonna be something that's hidden, from the public. And that event, as I mentioned before and talk about in the Kill Shot DVD, is a space shuttle being driven down to the ground by a meteor shower.
Right.
An unprecedented event.
Right.
The new fuel tank, the improved fuel tank for the space shuttle is being delivered now. Anticipated a resumption of launches is May or June.
That's
problematic.
Right. All right.
Okay?
If we see the space shuttle return to Earth under the circumstances you've described, how close is the kill shot?
Close. Because this is the closest, the nearest recognizable event. It's not the Indianapolis 500. It's not the tree in Times Square. It's not anything else like that. It's that. There are many recognizable events worldwide. When we see this one, we have to assume that you better start digging now or go to wherever it is that you wanted to go or, you know.
Well, I can assure you, when we got that X-28, 48, whatever the hell it was, outrageous... It just outrageous flare. I got a million emails, and everybody said they said, is that the shot across the bow? And then most people said, that obviously is the shot across the bow. And people have been listening very intently to the kill shot stuff ever since. All right, Ed, hold on. That number that he gave out, by the way, was 1-866-607-8439. Coming up in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Major Ed Dames a question. He surely is a fascinating individual. In the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell.
reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Always very interesting to open lines with Majorette Dames around. That's what we're preparing to do. Good morning, everybody. He really did do this in the military, and then I guess for the CIA. He really did this stuff. And he's here tonight. So if you have a question, here we are. Gold, you know. Gold is a really interesting substance. I mean, it really is. It's a fascinating substance. Maybe, well, perhaps some of you have had the experience. And many of you not, I'm sure. But I can assure you that when a human being holds, you know, a fairly substantial amount of gold in their hand, you know, like gold coins or gold nuggets or gold whatever, but pure gold, there is an experience. It's, I don't really know how to describe it, but there is an experience that you have. And it's kind of special, and it's kind of different. And I guess it accounts for the, you know, the the gold rush and the gold fever. And there's just something about gold. Zachariah Sitchin, of course, thinks we were once gold miners here on Earth. And I don't know why I'm asking you about this, Ed, except that you were dealing with gold, or we were early on. There's something, what is it about gold, Ed?
I don't know. I understand its history in terms of being a lingua franca, because it's so malleable and it doesn't rust or tarnish, and that's why it makes a good coin. And silver is the next bet. Other than that, I don't know who selected gold.
Do you think Zachariah Sitchin could be right that we were once gold miners? You know.
I don't think he's completely right, but there's some evidence to support some of what he's saying in terms of what I used to slip the military team as a training officer some real Mickeys, and they as blind targets where only your unconscious knows what the target is. We, you know, trained remote viewers know exactly what I mean. But there's evidence to suggest that humans have been employed as slaves and mining by another race, and there's remote viewing information to suggest that that has happened. Where in time and how far back and when, I don't know, but there is evidence to support some of what he's saying.
Well, it's easiest to comment on something you've experienced yourself. I felt it. I've held gold coins, pure gold coins in my hand, and there's something more than the mere weight of it, the mere color of it. I don't know, Ed. There's
well, you can dive into that 300-pound, strong box when I bring it down there.
Oh, I will do. All right.
We'll fill your hot tub up.
Yeah, that's just fine. All right, calls. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Hello, Art. I've got to say that the only reason I got my XM radio is so I could talk to you or, you know, listen to you.
XM radio. 265, the Ask Channel is where you will find us. Yes.
Well, I talked to you once before. It was the night you happened to walk outside, look on your porch, check out the stars, and remembered your porch wasn't there.
Yes, of course. I think it's 165. Yes.
Okay. Now, Ed Dames, he seems like a real smart man, but I cannot believe that he is sitting there giving the GPS exact location of a gold deposit.
Where the gold is, yeah.
And
why? What, do you feel it'll set off a gold rush or something?
Absolutely. You know how many morons are actually out there?
Well, we're going to find out. And I don't know. What if they're not morons? What if they go and find gold?
Well, that's the thing. There's probably some honest people that will go out there and find gold. But, well, you know, yeah, that there's a lot of people that think, well, you know, I don't have to find gold. I just have to find the guy that finds the gold.
Well, I suppose. That's been human nature since, forever, sir. I mean, gold has been around and it's been treated that way greedily since the days of Jesus. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with telling them where the gold is. What the hell?
Well, no, there's people that find gold all the time. I mean, just go out and prospect. But
yeah,
look what happened when the gold rush was here.
Absolutely.
Everybody went berserk.
Sure. Yeah, Nevada. I live in Nevada, the Silver State. We've got gold, too.
Well, let's back up. The reason that I'm doing this and have done it is to show, to demonstrate how effective remote viewing can be in practical situations. I'm not going to cover the entire range of its applicability, but that's the reason I'm doing it, to demonstrate that.
No, I can see you want to prove something.
Ground truth.
Yeah, well, there'll be some truth on the ground, all right. I mean, that's what the caller was talking about, you know, a bunch of people rushing out there. But I guess you can't be responsible for that. Wild card line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Yeah, Art. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I had a question. I have attention deficit disorder. It's kind of like the curse with the blessing, how the mind processes differently. And where I lack things, I have extra abilities, or I'm more sensitive in other areas. In your field, do you deal with people that have ADD or certain conditions of the mind where it might be weak at one point and very strong because of the way it processes in another, please?
Okay, well, I'm no expert, but I would think that it would be difficult with, that's attention deficit disorder. And one thing that's required for remote viewing is concentration and attention, or is that wrong?
No, there's a pace and a cadence, like playing the piano. There's different pace. You have to keep moving at certain paces and cadences. And the short answer to that is, no, it isn't a problem. When I was a young man, my left hand just couldn't do anything. And then when I took up handball and fell in love with it, I realized if I didn't learn how to use my left hand, I wasn't going to play handball because I'm on the left side of the court. What are you going to do when the ball's over there? So I had to learn how to train my left hand to coordinate, just like my right hand did. So it's like that. When you're weak in one spot, the training itself and the structure and the rigor forces you to adapt very quickly. And that's all that it is. So it isn't a problem.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Yes, hi. Good talking to you. Back a number of shows ago, you talked about, well, I remember you describing as the gatekeeper, which prevented you from being able to seek profit, whether it be the stock market, the lotteries, or whatever. What has happened that now allows people to do what you said? This may be 10 times ago that you were on.
Okay, the gatekeeper, Ed.
No, I didn't use the term gatekeeper. I used the term gatekeeper the last time I was on the show with regard to an extraterrestrial artifact. But what you're talking about is 11 shows ago, when I talked about a person's guardian angel blocking one from downloading information. For instance, suppose you and I, caller, were in court together, all right, and I wanted to use my remote viewing skill to gain an edge in the case, all right? In those kinds of instances, it has been my experience where your guardian angel would stop me from doing that. Or perhaps mine working in concert with yours, those kinds of things. That's what I meant.
Okay, so seeking profit, trying to forecast the stock market or whatever is acceptable.
I mean, I haven't seen anybody fail there. I guess the guardian angels just, you know, open an eye and close it again or something like that.
They wink past it, you know?
Okay. Well, I had misremembered something. I thought you had said that was specifically a no-no at that time.
Guardian angel, if I'm trying to gain an edge on you, that appears to be not allowed. Otherwise, they just roll over and...
Okay, well, that's where the rough line is then, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're very welcome. Now, let's talk about guardian angels for a second. Now, it's the first time... We may have talked about it, but I don't recall talking about it. Talk to me about guardian angels.
Well, they're very real. Not everybody has one, but they're real. They're real. Sometimes they even show up in photography.
Obvious questions are, for example, 150,000 people more probably just died. Where were all those guardian angels?
Rushing around, preparing them. Psychics will tell you this, even remote viewers, when they target an event like that. Can I give an example? I remember the military team was working the Pan Am flight over Lockerbie that was blown up. Our job was for the FBI to help them solve that case, who put the bomb on the plane.
Sure.
Now, that's the way we handle and execute the mission. I won't go into all the details, but when I did that, the moment, just before the lives were lost and all the people slammed into the bulkhead and died, you know, when the plane stops real quick, you got all those people flying out of their seats and everything squashed up against the bulkhead.
Absolutely.
The cabin fills with light, just totally fills with light. And when we sketch this, we show all these lights all over the place. And it isn't the souls of the people leaving or something like that. It's actually angels coming in to grab the, for lack of a better word, the souls of the people that are dying.
To reap the souls.
It's kind of like a snatch operation where they just grab. I wouldn't say reap necessarily, but they grab them. They kind of grab them and they leave real fast. And then all the bodies are just there as meat.
Huh. And this occurs just before the event.
Right concurrently with the event. Yeah.
And when your people have sketched people in that situation, they actually also sketch these lights.
Oh, yep. Many times.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello. Hello? Apparently not. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning. Turn your radio off, please, dear.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, sir. My God, your art.
Yes, I am.
I'm amazed. I'm a first-time caller. My name's Robin, and I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah, wow. I just was very, I'm very curious about theological matters, and I was listening to the part about the guardian angels and the part about Satan and all that, and I wanted to ask... Major Dames, if he would consider, or if he has tried, to actually remote view, like, the source, or God, or the completeness, or whatever you want to call it.
Wonderful question. For somebody, thank you, for somebody who's remote viewed Satan, it certainly is a good question. Once you knew Satan existed, I suppose you could draw a conclusion that God did as well, or you might want to really know. Ed?
Yeah, of course, we've done this over the years, many, many times, ideas like God and things like that. But essentially, the concepts are beyond our ken, at least beyond my ken. And you end up writing down allegorical descriptions of things, metaphor perhaps, but mostly allegory, because that's all that you have to cope with the information that we're getting. Remember, we're limited in terms of our wetware. Your brain the architecture is a certain way, it can only process things a certain way, its bandwidth, our sensory apparatus is bandwidth limited in terms of time and spectra. So a lot of these things, especially if you're dealing with perhaps our creator itself,
yeah, so what
would
do
be
you
like
get?
A computer trying to look back at its own operating system and suss itself out. It's not frustrating, it's just that we know it's not doable.
Okay, I mean, that's... I guess it's a fair answer, but if you can go after Satan as an entity, then is God that much greater and more beyond our understanding?
I can't answer that question. Everything will become clear when I die, I guess. But right now, no, I can't answer it.
All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask him a question. Has he ever remote viewed Bin Laden?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A million people asked that.
Yes, yes. Bin Laden appears to be still alive, but very badly injured. He was injured in an attack, but he escaped, and he is still alive.
Mm-hmm. And do you see him leading us into Armageddon?
Negative. He doesn't have much more of his communication, his command and control is tenuous at best. My team could put an X on his present location in a matter of 72 hours, but I think our resources would be better served by doing other things.
Yeah, I read that he said that he thought he was the Messiah.
Well,
he may have that complex. Who knows? But a lot of people do email about that, Ed. And do you have any idea how big Al-Qaeda is?
No. If you look at what was Al-Qaeda now has split into so many factions, which is a big problem. And with various degrees of, it's like a Medusa, you know, you cut off one head and it's still got all those other heads. So.
Well, there's intelligence that the word on intelligence goes both ways, Ed, and one strong word on the street right now is that we have overestimated by a great deal the capability of Al-Qaeda. Do you think there's anything to that? I mean, at one point, we apparently did overestimate the capability of the Soviet Union.
If you want to know what I think is one of the most dangerous things on this planet, it is the Russian mafia. The Russian mafia, in my mind, in my experience, is far more dangerous than Al-Qaeda.
Is the Russian mafia dangerous enough to get hold of the government?
No, worse than that. Much worse than that.
Well, that'd be bad enough.
No, no, no. The Russian mafia has no scruples, has no morals, and the Arab world has a lot of money. And when you put those two things together, and the poor Russian military, especially their rocket forces, you know, don't have enough money to feed their families at home, sooner or later, a special atomic demolition munition is going to be missing, and the sum of all fears will be real.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hey, Art, how you doing today?
All right.
Hi, Major Dames. I want to ask three quick questions. First, I want to say, Art, I lost my cat, so I just had two cats die of this cancer.
So sorry.
That is so horrible. More of this stuff is coming around. Now, Major Dames, my first question is on the kill shot. Do you see the polar shifts being completely rerouted, as you mentioned before? And then my other question, I'll hang up on the radio, is can you tell us how to get that videotape? Because I need medical attention. If I get some of that lottery, I certainly would like to help some people that are in need. You know, I think that's what we're supposed to be doing on this earth.
All right. So if you get the lottery, it's to help other people. All right. Major?
They can call that number again. I think the tape is in production right now.
The number is 1-866-607-8439. I wrote it down.
Okay, good. The shift, I outline the dynamics as far as we could put it together, the mechanics and the dynamics of how Earth's axis of rotation will eventually shift a number of degrees. And it's a long series of events that will initiate and facilitate that happening. And it's really too long to talk about at this juncture right here, but it is on that kill shot video.
By the way, Ed, I forget, but the rotation of the Earth and its axis were affected to apparently a measurable degree by this earthquake event. It was an amazing story. I'm sure you heard it.
Yeah, yes. And what we're saying is that after the kill shot really gets in full swing, the Earth, the magma in the Earth, the interior of the Earth will actually st- start to turn, the dynamo that is the interior of the Earth will be affected to the point where the Earth's axis of rotation shifts. And I outline that in the kill shot.
Gordon Michael Scallion has said very similar things about the Earth's core. We know so little, really, about our own Earth past a certain point.
Right? 9,600 years ago. History, all of a sudden, history magically starts 9,600 years ago, recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? And why is that city 2,200 feet underwater off the coast of Cuba? That wasn't because of a tidal wave. There's only one way that could have gone down there.
And it did, too. Mm-hmm. It a city dropped 2,200 feet. That's like a half mile, or a half mile of water rose over it one way or the other. Okay, Ed, hold on. We're here at the bottom of the hour, and we will continue with questions for Major Ed Dames on a program that's called Coast to Coast AM, which does business in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell.
Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed. My guest is Major Ed Dames. And, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lady waiting for him. Got a major question for the Major. In a moment. My guest is Major Ed Dames. Ed, I've got a real zinger here for you. You ready?
Fire away.
All right, fire away. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Hello. I just have a question for Mr. Dames.
All right, turn your radio off. That's
okay, sorry,
always
sorry.
Prime. You've got to do that right away.
I know. I'm an idiot now.
Nah. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, Mr. Dames, I was wondering whether or not...
We're not going to take that one, and that wasn't the zinger anyway. That's a zinger, but not the one I wanted. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Oh, hi. This is Ruth from Colorado Springs.
Right.
And Mr. Ed Dames, I love you. I think you're amazing, and... Art Bell, I love you too. I think you're great. And the question I have is I would like to know if Maitreya is the Antichrist, and I'd like to know what the scariest thing that you remote viewed on the devil. And if there's any way possible I could write you a letter, I really want to write you a letter.
All right, hold it there. All right, so Ed.
I'm not going to cast aspersions on anybody, so I'm not going to answer that question. Okay, if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all, right?
That covers Maitreya.
Yeah, that's my Maitreya. And what's the
scariest, I don't know. Something about the scariest thing you ever remote viewed.
Yeah.
Satan, I would think.
I think the scariest thing that I ever remote viewed is the actual, I think World War III has already started, but the denouement of World War III and what I believe is fate. Just, it's not going to be prevented. I mean, that World War III is a reality. It's going to reach a climax, and that climax is the scariest thing I've ever remote viewed.
Okay. There's your answer. Now, I guess I'm going to have to serve up the zinger myself. I thought it was one of those young ladies that had it. But the zinger is, I thought, and so did a lot of other people, that you told us that bin Laden's that he was dead, that you remote viewed his dead body, and you mentioned to a caller a little while ago that he was alive.
Yeah, I was wrong on the death. They got the when I personally remote viewed him. So what I was remote viewing, and Ingo Swann felt the same way too, who was my original teacher. We both felt he was dead because he was injured so badly. When he wasn't moving, it looked like he was sleeping permanently. And evidently, he recovered from a very serious injury. But both Ingo Swann and I felt that he was dead because he wasn't moving, and he was laid, and he was prone.
Okay, what changed?
So in other words, we sketched him.
No, I've got all that. What changed your mind?
Well, the next time we're looking for his body, when we're not finding a body, we're finding a person that's moving around. That changed my mind. Like, okay, what happened? So we had to go back to the drawing board and find out, you know, what went down.
Okay, that's got to be a major miss.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
I've got a few others in my career, too.
No, okay. That's, you know, that's just it. Just lay it out there. If it's a miss, it's a miss. And if it's, you know, if you've got to change your mind midstream, that's okay, too. I mean, in a way, it would have been easier to stick with your original, because
No. The truth is the truth here. I deal in fact. The fact is, bad call. Totally bad call. I sketched the person prone, assumed that that person was dead, and that was a bad assumption.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Hi. I was calling actually to find out what he found when he remote viewed Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
It was 1991. That we were passed by an oil company to get into the mind of Saddam Hussein and do a psychological profile of him.
For an oil company?
Yeah.
Huh.
To see if he was, to see if he was really going to go to war, if he was really up to it. And when I, personal experiences, I assumed before I started to remote view that he was very much like Joe Stalin, and I was very wrong. Remote viewing data indicated that he worshipped the epic Babylonian hero Gilgamesh, and he viewed himself as a Gilgamesh, a hero on the white horse, who was a reflection of his people and this kind of thing, very much unlike Joe Stalin. So that shows you, you're thinking, the thinking brain is so fallible. That's why I like my work so much, because it's not fallible. Yes, I sketched a person laying down, targeted bin Laden, laying on the ground, but it was my thinking brain, bad analysis, not bad remote viewing, that led me to the conclusion that he was dead. And that's the third part of remote viewing, analysis, and that was a bad analytical call.
Okay. Is there any way to guard against those kind of mistakes?
Just experience, art, and gotta watch out. You have to really put. You've got to contain your ego. You have to be very, very careful about the structure and the protocols, which we teach precisely in my program. But the pitfalls, most of the pitfalls are not so much setting up the target, not in the remote viewing, which is pretty easy to teach as a skill. It's in the data analysis. That's where the pitfalls lie, right there.
Well, we've had a few videotape and audiotape, I think, visitations from Bin Laden, or at least one major one. When did you discover you were wrong?
About 6 or 7 months ago. That's the first time I remember. I was looking for his grave because there were some people in special ops command who wanted a DNA sample. When I looked for the DNA sample, to my surprise, I had a warm body. Moving around, walking around, you know, so I had to redo the session because.
So you could identify where then he is.
Yes, yes, I can.
And you are not doing so. Why?
I think I got a serial killer on the streets of Wichita, Kansas. He may not be on the streets so much, but he's here and now. Osama bin Laden has done what he's done, and he really is. Pretty much ineffective as far as I'm concerned in terms of command and control. The killer on the streets of Wichita is still roaming around, and he's in our backyard, you know, inside the fence. So I'm going to take him first, and then maybe Osama bin Laden later. It's my call.
Okay. Well, indeed, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Well, I have a question for Major Ed Ames.
Dames, with a D.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. In your remote viewing, have you ever... remote viewed the Apostle Paul.
Okay, there you are.
No, never.
Everybody's going to be interested in all the religious figures.
The false prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, but never the Apostle Paul. Was there something...
Have you remote viewed enough historical religious figures to be able to say that the way the Bible describes it is the way it happened?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I have remote viewed enough religious figures to be able to say that there's a lot of problems with the way the Bible lays things out. A lot. A whole lot.
Okay.
I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm a very spiritual man. I'm a Christian, but I'm telling you.
But given the mistakes in the way it's laid out, is there any mistake in the larger message?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So it's still my guide.
All right, got it.
Now I have friends who will swear that I mean every single letter and word in that book from beginning to end. Yeah,
is
so you know what I mean.
Gospel.
Yeah.
Yes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yes. I was wondering if he has an email address. I'd like to email him.
And that's always been kind of a problem, I think. Ed, do you have an email address? And if so, what is it?
My email is eddames@scispymaster.com.
Ed Dames at...
Psy Spymaster.
That would PSI.
Correct.
Psy.
Spymaster.
Spymaster.
.com.
Okay. You'll get a lot of mail. So, prepare yourself. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yes, hello. I have a question for Ed.
Fire away.
The question has to do with when you remote viewed Satan. I wanted to know, did you also see any sign of hell? Did you get any information about hell or anything?
No, hell does not exist. It's not real.
It does not exist. Then why, what was the purpose? Did you get any information from Satan as to what the purpose was for that entity and why that would exist with that corresponding hell?
All right.
And
well,
what is his purpose?
Yeah, pretty interesting question. Without a home, who's Satan? What's he doing?
No. Satan is when I perceived that entity was in just a dark space. That's it. I don't know where that dark space was, what dimension it was in, where it was in terms of the universe or another universe. I have no idea. All I wanted to do was get out. And I realized that I think I made a mistake by even being here and turning, I don't want its attention on me.
Yep. I remember all that from when. I remember that you were really shook up about that too.
The only other time I felt like that was with a group of about 5 or 7 monks in present day Bhutan that are very, very different. It's almost like they're not human beings. And when I remote viewed them, I felt the same way, that, oh, I don't want these people's attention on me. Don't draw their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because in terms of advanced yoga cities or advanced, spiritual dynamics, these folks were much farther along than me. They could actually do things that I didn't want done to me.
Got it. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Ed, last show in October, you know, you were saying enjoy this Christmas coming up because it sounded like you were being pretty definitive for 2000.
I told people to stay home. I said, stay home with your families. You know, the last Merry Christmas was years ago. Stay home.
Okay. And in regards to two things, the Korean nuclear, the use of a nuclear device and the economic collapse you mentioned in October, both for America and the world in general, do you still pretty definitively see those two things very probably happening in 2005?
Yes. Yeah, I think, not definitively, but we're going to know when we start rolling with these catastrophe predictions and systematize the attack, we're going to know. But yeah, I still feel that way.
Okay. Well, I've seen you hit amazing stuff, Ed, and I've seen you miss some too over the years. I've seen both. I mean, but on the other hand, what you have hit, like the shot across the bow, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I could name, but I won't burden everybody with it. There were a lot of hits, and there have been some misses. But even if your score turned out to be roughly 50-50, that would be still so far above any possible average for hitting specific events as to be astronomical. In other words, you obviously have that some talent, but it's flawed.
Yeah, it is now, and it's always going to be flawed because it's a human behavioral process. There's always going to be human error. But there are so many people who have reached the level of almost advanced students now that I have trained. When they put their heads together without me, that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
What
happens.
I did mention one of your students knocked it down and.
Watch when 50 of them get together and work the same thing.
Yeah, I bet. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Calling from Wichita, Kansas, KFH-FM.
Of course.
Major Dames, when you're traveling to Wichita, do you expect to meet with any of your many fans out here?
No. I have a job to do there, and that's not one of them. That is not one of them. I'm sorry.
Have you thought about running any seminars out in this part of the world?
No, I'm going there for one reason.
You know what Wichita is, and it's that kind of business. So thank you, caller, but the answer is, and I understand why, it's a no. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yes, thank you very much. Ed, I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate the intellect that you bring. It's always a joy to hear you on the program. I'd like to ask you a question, please. I received a rather disturbing phone call from an elderly aunt of mine 1 week ago who lives in Washington State. Her husband recently passed away, and two of his nephews called her to wish her goodbye as they were leaving Washington State and moving to Canada. And the reason they stated for doing so is because they believe that there are these prison camps that are being built throughout the U.S., including there in Washington State. And supposedly these prison camps are being targeted towards Christian Americans who live here in the country.
Yeah, so the old story of all the Christians.
Total horse stuff. I mean, it's just total, it's just a bunch of crap. And they can go wherever they want, but I'm telling you, right now, take it from me, it's just crap.
Well, it's well-circulated crap.
Yeah, that's for sure.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello. Hi.
This is Jeff in Peoria.
Yes, sir.
I have a question that's not about the Antichrist.
Okay.
They seem to be able, the remote viewers, to fix a position on the Earth, like with coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem seems to be with time. Isn't there a way that they could use coordinates like of the Earth in relation to the galactic center, or maybe a star?
Yes,
coordinates?
Yes. As I, we can use the position. If we use an orrery program, an orrery is an old English word. An orrery was a device that showed the relative positions of the sun as it moved around the Earth, because, you know, that's the way things work. It was a clockwork that really did display, albeit the wrong model, the relative positions of the heavenly bodies. Nowadays, they're software orreries. So if we average out, let's say we get a team of six viewers, and we're looking at an event in the future, let's say an earthquake, for instance, in a specific area of the world, and we want to know when that happens, we can turn our attention to the relative positions of the inner or the outer planet, something like that, average them out, and then stick that into a software program, orrery, and look at that and get a general description of where we are in time. That's one way. There may be others, but we haven't discovered them yet.
Oh, that's really interesting. Maybe you could invent your own coordinate system you could use.
Yeah, that you can do that. You can, anything where you can establish a relationship one to another can be used, but as Rupert Sheldrake knows, you have to use it a lot of times to train mind as to what you want. It's like when you're using something new that's a neologism or a new relationship, mind has to understand what you mean.
Okay, listen, buddy, we're out of time again, so let's give out your number for materials. It's a free call, 866-607-8439. Right, Ed?
Right, or go to learnrv.com. Art, do you have a telescope? There's a beautiful green two-tailed comet. Comet Machholz below the Pleiades in your neck of the woods about 10 o'clock every night. And I know you still have that inkpot dark sky out there, although Perump's growing.
I'll take a look for it, buddy. We're still in a dark part of it. All right, thank you, and we'll see you next time, Ed.
Okay.
Take care.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And as for all of the rest of you, why, I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.